welcome to 49ers Live. Joe Fan, Keanu Martin sitting in for Ted Robinson. Joe, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think winning is, it's kind of fun.
It's kind of fun. We could get used to this. 3 out of 4 now, 2 in a row, on the road. Team's feeling good. We're feeling good. The fans are feeling good. No case of the Mondays here. And we've got exclusive reaction in the locker room. It was a party, but we'll get to that. Let's just dive right into the highlights, because from NRG Stadium, it was a very impressive showing for the San Francisco 49ers, looking for their third straight win, and they would get it in H-Town. Here in the second quarter, it's Jimmy Garoppolo over the middle to Marquise Goodwin, breaks a tackle, and all of a sudden he's off for a 32-yard gain. That would lead to Robbie Gould, who's just been so dang clutch all year. This is 1 of 4. Ties the game at 3. Later in the half, it's Garoppolo while getting hit to Kyle Juszczyk in traffic. The fullback goes up and makes the play. That's an offensive weapon if I've ever seen one. And he's not done. A little catch and run, turns the ball upfield. 31 yards on the reception. Kyle Juszczyk, a career high 64 yards receiving on the day. And if things don't work up the middle, Carlos Hyde, you just bounce it outside to the right. He's flexing for the fifth time in 2017. Gets the 49ers on top in the first half. The Texans would respond, because this guy right here is a pretty darn good football player. DeAndre Hopkins was an absolute monster yesterday. 11 catches, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is the first coming from 2 yards or 7 yards out just before the half. 10-9 Niners at this point. Then just before the half, running the 2-minute drill, it's Carlos Hyde getting things started with a 31-yard run. His longest and best run of the day with a truck stick at the end, just for good measure. Then falling away, avoiding pressure, as Jimmy Garoppolo to Aldrick Robinson for 18 yards. Next play, Garoppolo, Robinson one more time for 9 yards. After a spike, in comes Robbie Gould. He would do it again. That's his second. Extends the 49ers lead to 13-9 going into halftime. A very impressive drive to get points before the half. Opening up the third quarter, this one was all DeAndre Hopkins. Unbelievable 32-yard touch or 29-yard touchdown, his second of the day. That would be the last point the Texans would score in this one. The 49ers responded immediately. Garoppolo, again, getting hit. 13 yards to Goodwin, plus a 15-yard personal foul for roughing the passer. Then it's Garoppolo to Lewis Murphy over the middle for a 20-yard gain. Garoppolo would keep things moving on 3rd and 7. To Goodwin one more time. Again, you look at that constant pressure, still delivering the mail on time. An impressive performance for him. Robbie Gould, number 3. This ties the game at 16. What time is it, Kiana?
Uh-oh.
It's Celek time!
Oh, there we go.
It's Celek time. Running away from the defense. Look at the Jets from the tight end. Gets brought down, but not before a career-long 61-yard gain. After holding penalty would back the 49ers up. But Kendrick Bourne, the rookie out of Eastern Washington, would get 18 of those yards back. Next play, off of play action, just beautiful play design. Kyle Shanahan doing what Kyle Shanahan does, getting Garrett Celek wide open. Garoppolo finds him for the easy pitch and catch. Here's the play of the game. Texans, still a one-possession game. DeAndre Hopkins fumbles the football, forced by Adrian Colbert, recovered by Aaron Lynch. The 49ers would recover, which led to this field goal, Robbie Gould's 4th. He's got 9 in his last 2 games. That would make it a 2-score game. Fairbairn trying to hit his second 50-yarder of the game. Doink! No good. And that would seal 3 knees from Jimmy Garoppolo. Would seal the 49ers win. And as you might expect, when you win 2 road games in a row, we'll come back to the numbers. Nate Steele, roll the tape. Let's check out the party in the locker room.
Congratulations. Nice job. There we go. Congratulations, man. Great job. Congratulations.
Hey, guys, hell of a job. I'll make this short. I want you guys to keep celebrating. All right, but all 3 phases, man. Everyone had their part, did a hell of a job. All right, I want to say, too, like, the way we started out, we missed a number of big plays in that first quarter. It didn't faze any of you guys. I mean, the way Juice came back, Jimmy, Keese, Celek time. All right, you guys all. D, finished with a turnover. Lynch got the fumble. I think we had a couple sacks there, too. Special teams did a hell of a job, too. All right, I know there's a ton of guys from Houston. All right, this is a big deal, too. All you guys are getting game balls. All right, I want to give one guy in particular. He won't tell anyone at all. He won't even say it, but it meant a lot to him. It's first time coming back, and I want to give one to Jay Bird.
Jay Bird! Jay Bird! Jay Bird!
Jay Bird! Jay Bird! Jay Bird! Give a speech. All right, man, you break this out. Come on.
Niners on three. One, two, three.
That's never before seen footage right there. Garoppolo finished the game completing 20 of 33 passing attempts for a career high 334 yards, a touchdown, and an interception, including yet that career long pass to Garrett Celek, that Celek time 61-yard completion. And of his 627 passing yards in his first two games combined, that's the most for any 49ers quarterback. With that being said, I mean, we've gotten two and a quarter chances to take a look at Jimmy Garoppolo. So, Joe, I'm going to pass it over to you. What have we seen from Jimmy G this time?
More of the same. I mean, he's just been fantastic. And there's that belief that the 49ers are going to score every time they get the football. The response once the 49ers gave up points, both at the end of the first half and at the end of the game, those are huge moments. And what really struck me about Jimmy Garoppolo in this one was his success under pressure. According to Jeff Deeney of Pro Football Focus, 47% of Garoppolo's dropbacks, he was under pressure. And you saw him time and time again feel that pressure, that patented quick release, get the ball out, deliver it to his receivers, and make a play. Only took a couple of sacks in this one. He was hit nearly 10 times. I mean, that just goes to show what kind of experience he has, what kind of feel he has for the game, understanding when Jadeveon Clowney is barreling down on him. There's one play in particular that, for me, really exemplifies his day. And you, again, you're just keeping his eyes downfield while still having that sense of when and where the pressure is coming from. And that quick release is just so deadly. But the second quarter, a pass to Carlos Hyde, with Jadeveon Clowney coming right after him, put it right in the breadbasket for Carlos Hyde. And I'm not calling this out to put Carlos Hyde on blast. It could have been a touchdown if he hung on to it. But just look at this throw. How big time of a throw that is. I mean, a flick of the wrist and it goes 40 yards downfield and you have a chance at a touchdown before halftime. If we can run it back just one more time. Sorry, Nate Steele. I mean, look, this is unbelievable stuff to me. I mean, I'm in the press box. This is the one play. This might be the most impressive play of the game. He gets absolutely smashed while making the throw and drops it where only his guy can catch it. And that's just ridiculous. That is fearless. That is talent. That is some serious arm talent. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is just showing you exactly what you saw against Chicago. Winning in the NFL isn't easy. Winning on the road is even harder. And you hear people say, well, it's only the Texans. And the Texans aren't very good. And they haven't been good since they lost to Sean Watson. The 49ers were an underdog in this game. They've been an underdog in the last two games. And they've won both times. So I think, to me, how can you not be so impressed? And I want to pose this question to you, and I'll pose this question to everybody. Who would you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? If you're put on your John Lynch GM hat and let yourself go through this exercise on your Monday morning and say all 31 general managers around the league say, hey, we'll give you our starting quarterback for Jimmy Garoppolo. How many do you take? Just curious. There are a few slam dunks, right? You're going to take Aaron Rodgers. You probably still take Tom Brady, even at this stage of his career, just because of how good he's playing. Doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon. Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, an MVP candidate. Then you get to names like Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Matthew Stafford, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff. Are those slam dunks? Are you pulling the trigger 100%, no doubt? My answer would be no, which to me says, that's pretty remarkable. We've only seen two starts for this guy. And is he a top 10, top 15 quarterback already? Got to be, right?
I mean, one of Garoppolo's biggest benefactors, which you guys saw in the game yesterday, and you got to see a little bit of it last week against the Bears, is Marquise Goodwin last week, 99 yards. This week, 106. His second game this season with 100 receiving yards. Tell me a little bit about Goodwin. What have you seen?
Goodwin, I think, if you're giving out postseason awards, obviously there's still 3 weeks left. Garoppolo's probably your MVP, to be quite honest with you. But Goodwin's got to be the most improved. You look at Goodwin, and a lot of fans, himself, frustrated with huge penalties. Or not penalties, but drops early in the season. He had one against Carolina, another big one against Seattle. That really cost the 49ers offense. He's been dependable. You look at what he's done the last couple of weeks, averaging more than 100 receiving yards. He's been Jimmy Garoppolo's go-to guy. He's got a great chance at 1,000 receiving yards, which would be his first, right? This is a guy we didn't know that much about. He was a one-trick pony in Buffalo, really trying to learn that full route tree here. And you see that development. Obviously, it wasn't going to happen immediately, and he's not all the way to a finished product yet. But you're seeing that progress, and that's got to be exciting to when you get Pierre Garçon back, to where if you draft a wide receiver or sign somebody in free agency, you know that you've got a guy in Marquise Goodwin who, as right now, your pseudo number one receiver due to injuries and otherwise, he's been able to step up and make plays for his quarterbacks in a variety of short, intermediate, and deep routes. I think Marquise Goodwin, absolutely the most improved player on this team. And you look, last three games, he's at what? Like 700 and something yards right now. He needs like, I think, what's the number? Did I write it down? I did, yeah. 783 right now with three games left. Needs about 73 receiving yards per game over the last three to get his first 1,000-yard season, well within reach. He's been fantastic lately.
Yeah, he's definitely having a career season. I'm going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little bit about defense. Three sacks on the day. Let's see. Eli Harold got one.
K-1
got him one.
I love when your slot corner is getting a sack.
Defo, we had Earl Mitchell, huge stop. Huge stop on fourth down.
In his hometown, against
his
former team.
A
lot of storylines in this one.
I mean, where do we start? What did you see on defense?
Yeah, defensively, I think you saw this team overcome a lot of adversity. There's Earl Mitchell's play. A fantastic play from the big guy. You know, that's where he was drafted. He started in Houston. Was from Houston. This meant a lot to him. You saw in the postgame celebration, Jay Burnetti, the team's equipment manager, getting the game ball. Everyone from Houston who has a relationship with that franchise. And there's quite a few. D'Amico Ryans, thought that felt good for the assistant linebackers coach. He was a great player for this franchise for a long time. Kyle Shanahan spent some years here as the offensive coordinator and one of the led some of the best Texans offenses of all time. So this one was big. But you saw this team. The defense gave up that second touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins with about 12 minutes left in the third quarter and didn't allow another point. That, to me, says you're able to make in-game adjustments, you're able to respond to adversity, and finish games. You shut teams out in the fourth quarter, you're going to have a chance to win a lot of football games. And it was nice to see DeForest Buckner get a late sack. Elvis Dumervil had three quarterback hits, a couple of which were on third down. Those are huge. I think DeForest Buckner, quick note on him, I feel like his season really mirrors the 49ers in a lot of ways, right? He's had a very nice season, a ton of pressures. I think throughout the year he's been among the league leaders in quarterback pressures. You see Eli Harold's sack yesterday, getting a freebie coming off that right edge. Here's a big hit that took Savage out of the game ultimately from Elvis Dumervil. But Buckner, he's among the league leaders in quarterback pressures from an interior defensive lineman, but just hasn't been able to get home. Just 1.5 sacks going into yesterday's game. Finally, he gets that one on the last drive against T.J. Yates. And you look at his season. Without the numbers there, it looks like a season that a lot of almosts, what-ifs, what-could-have-beens, what-should-have-beens, that kind of parallels the 49ers, that five straight games with losing by 3 points or less. Forrest Buckner, he's coming along. He doesn't have the numbers to show for it yet. It was nice to see him get it yesterday. It was nice to see the 49ers get their win. There's definitely some parallels for how his season's gone and how the 49ers season has gone in general.
Now, we got a question from Carl while we're on the lines of defense, and you mentioned him, Savage. Reuben Foster, is he okay? How is he doing? What did you see out of him yesterday?
Yeah, word out of the locker room is that Reuben Foster just got the wind knocked out of him. Had to lay there for a second, catch his breath. You saw once he got up, popped up. And ran off the field. He didn't miss a play. That's a good sign. Obviously, when you see Reuben Foster go down, he's a franchise cornerstone going forward, the reigning NFL Rookie of the Month. You don't want to see that guy go down, especially given he's gone down a few times this year. But the second he popped up and ran to the sideline, you had to imagine that he was going to be okay. So good news there. The only one injury that is something to follow, and hopefully we'll find out more, when Akella Witherspoon, if we get an update from Kyle Shanahan at 4 p.m. today, Akella Witherspoon missed the end of the game yesterday. He's got a knee injury, getting an MRI Monday morning. We don't know if the 49ers have the results yet or not. There's been no word nor update on him, but he's had a fantastic rookie season again yesterday. Really playing well is obviously all of a sudden the 49ers' top cornerback. So we'll see what the update is there. He could miss some time. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he does, unfortunately, miss the end of the season. Doesn't look like it's too serious. He was walking around joking with his teammates post-game with only 3 games left in the season. He could be put on the shelf for the rest of it. Got to give a shout-out to Greg Maven, who came in for Dante Johnson, who was struggling to defend DeAndre Hopkins. Robert Saleh makes the switch, puts in Greg Maven, who hasn't been with the team all that long, hasn't gotten all that many snaps on defense this year. All of a sudden, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't do much the rest of the game. I think his one catch the rest of the way was the one he fumbled. So a big ups to Greg Maven, to Robert Saleh making adjustments, and the whole 49ers defense for going, you know, pitching a shutout from 12 minutes left in the third quarter all the way to the end of the game.
Now, one question that we've been getting a lot, the 49ers are winning games. They're building momentum. It's towards the end of the season. Now, a lot of people are questioning, you know, should the 49ers have their...
Is it a good thing? What does it mean?
Should the 49ers focus be on winning games? Should they start looking towards the draft? What's Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's take on that?
I think it's a good question, and it makes sense. It's only a natural question, right? You want to be at the top of the draft order because, one, that's where all the top players are, and two, that's where if someone's going to come trade for that pick, that's where you're going to get, you know, the most value, where guys are trading up and giving you that haul that, you know, the Rams had to give up for Jared Goff and, you know, the Eagles had to give up for Carson Wentz. That's something that you want to get, but at the same time, winning games at the end of the season gives you something tangible. And when you're in the middle of a rebuild process, Kyle Shanahan has spoken ad nauseum about learning how to win. 49ers didn't know how to do that. Losing 5 games by 3 points or less is almost impressive. 49ers didn't know how to win. You get in the fourth quarter, do you expect to win? When you're watching at home, do you expect the 49ers to win those games? I don't know, probably not, given the track record for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, look at the dynamic shift when in Chicago you get the ball, you know, down a couple of points with 5 minutes left. You got to drive the full field. I had confidence. I kind of believed the way the offense was driving throughout the game that Jimmy Garoppolo and that crew was going to get it done. They did. Yesterday, even when DeAndre Hopkins is going off, I mean, again, what are those numbers? 11 for 149, 2 touchdowns. Unbelievable stuff. And they still win the game. You never felt like the 49ers were out of it, always responding after the 49ers, after the Texans scored, even after a slow start. There was never that feeling of, here we go again. It was all right, it's a slow start, and eventually Jimmy Garoppolo will figure it out. And it's amazing it only took 2 games to get you that feeling back. And that, to me, I think goes a long ways. It doesn't matter if you have $100 million in salary cap space to spend during free agency. If no one wants to come here, or if you're paying a premium, you're overpaying guys to get here. When you have a product to sell, we've got a quarterback. We've got these pieces on defense. We've got Marquise Goodwin, who's really stepped up. We've got Joe Staley, a left tackle. We've got Kyle Juszczyk, a fullback. We've got Adrian Colbert, a seventh-round pick, all of a sudden as a stud in the secondary. You've got these pieces and this tangible evidence that you're heading in the right direction. That goes a long ways, and it'll go a long ways when they're pitching these guys, pitching these free agents, trying to spend their money and get these guys to come to San Francisco. That's where this comes in, right? And it goes a long ways. And so, yes, it's a defined balance, a delicate balance of wanting to stay near the top of the draft. But I would argue for everyone in that locker room, everyone on the coaching staff, and everyone around the league, their perception of this franchise is changed much more by winning here than getting that draft capital. Draft capital only goes so far. You still got to land on the picks. Look at the Browns, and this isn't take a cheap shot at the Browns. They've had the most draft capital for the last how many years? But if you don't do anything with it, you're still in the same situation. And so, to me, these wins at the end of the season mean so much more to this team and to everyone at large than I think, you know, losing and keeping that top five pick. Players are talking about winning out. That's what the goal is. And coming up against Tennessee, another winnable game.
Thanks for answering that. I know we've been getting a lot of questions about what's going on with that
situation. And it makes
sense.
I don't want to, like, poo-poo that, like, you know, why are you rooting for your team to lose? I get it, right? And the team is not going to the playoffs. You want to be towards the top of the draft for a number of reasons. So it makes sense. But there's a lot of value in these wins.
We got a question in from David. I know you mentioned yesterday on Twitter Trent Brown would not be playing in the game. Zane Beatles actually played in his absence. Any update on Trent?
I think that was kind of a surprise. There's no update on Trent other than he was a game-time decision. Kyle Shanahan said he found out, or he had a feeling the night before and then found out during the day that he wouldn't be able to go pregame. Zane Beatles steps in. That is an absolute nightmare of a matchup to step in at right tackle. An interior guy. He's a guard. To go play right tackle against Jadeveon Clowney, no thank you. Obviously had his ups and downs, but just the fact that you go through 4 quarters and do that without Trent Brown, it's admirable. Jimmy Garoppolo, his performance, admirable. without his right tackle. I don't know an update. I would assume he'll be back next week, but after playing against Chicago, I assumed he was going to be in action yesterday. Not sure what happened along the way. Could be another situation where it's just a week-to-week thing. Could be a game-time decision. We don't know.
Now, Jimmy Garoppolo has won all four of his NFL starts. Now he's looking to extend that to number 5 next week against the Tennessee Titans, who are coming off a loss to the Arizona Cardinals. What do we have to look for next week?
We have a lot to look forward to. And again, another winnable game. For the third straight week, I would expect to go into this week, 49ers expect to win. As a fan, as a team reporter, you know, anyone that surveys this league, you watch what's happened over the last couple of weeks, Titans very nearly lost that game to the Houston Texans 2 weeks ago. They had a bad loss yesterday, only scoring 7 points against the Arizona Cardinals, where Phil Dawson, Uncle Phil, beat him with 4 field goals, 12-7 in the desert. Mariota's banged up. Maybe he doesn't play this week with a knee injury. You're peeking into the screen here.
I was trying to jump in your shot and say hello.
We're coming in.
you're jumping ahead.
Jumping ahead.
I would also expect a solid crowd at Levi's Stadium because you're coming off of 2 road wins. This is your first chance to see Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm coming. This is what I compare it to. If you're a fan of a baseball team that's not going to the playoffs, all of a sudden they call up their top prospect who has been killing it in the minors. You get your first chance to see him at home. I'm buying a ticket. Yes, the game doesn't have playoff implications, but I want to come see with my own 2 eyes what it looks like. So I would expect a good crowd. I expect the faithful to be out in full force at Levi's Stadium on Sunday. And plus, there's more incentive. Not only will Keanu be there, not only will I be there, which is obviously a huge selling point, Jimmy Garoppolo will be there. But at the gate, come on, Keanu. QVC hand model time.
There we go.
We got a 49ers blanket to give away. Everyone at the door gets this. It's getting cold for the holiday season.
California cold.
Snuggle up with this guy. Keep warm on Sunday at the game. Bring your Yowie that you've already got, obviously. And come grab this. It's Netflix and chill season. We got a blanket. You're listening to Christmas tunes while looking at the Christmas tree. Boom. You're somewhere where it might snow. You're going up to Tahoe. Boom. You got to bring this. Very comfy. Very soft. The thread count is very high, I've been told. Get you some.
There you go. I like that. You will get that in attendance this Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. And also, Joe, I got to add in, this is the last week for Pro Bowl voting.
It is the last week of Pro Bowl voting.
There's multiple ways you can vote.
Do it.
You can do NFL.com. You can go to 49ers.com. Also, jump on Twitter. Use hashtag Pro Bowl Vote, plus the name of the player you would like to nominate. Go ahead and send that in. You can also do DM method through the NFL's page. I mean, we've got a couple of guys that we can throw onto those nominations.
Yeah, Robbie Gould's been absolutely fantastic. 9 made field goals over his last 2 games. 2 wins, mind you. Coming up clutch, huge kicks, 52 yards, 41 yards to make it a 2-score game. Yeah, snuggle up. There we go.
I'm really liking this.
It's kind of chilly in here.
Yeah.
DeForest Buckner's a guy who should be a candidate for the Pro Bowl. Kyle Juszczyk now, according to Pro Football Focus, the top running grade, run blocking grade of any fullback. You saw the OW on display. He said it was the best catch he's ever made going up the left sideline. Kyle Juszczyk, also an underrated Twitter follow. Well, the 49ers team account was, how did Kyle Juszczyk catch this pass with the highlight, whatever the copy was, and he responds with these hands, the hands emoji. Follow Kyle Juszczyk on Twitter. Just a quick shout out to the social media guru that is the 49ers fullback, but I said it was the best catch of his career, and it was a dang good one in double coverage. Nate Steele, you're just the man, bringing it up right here. Look at that. In double coverage, is that a fullback, a tight end? Is that DeAndre Hopkins, or is it Kyle Juszczyk? It's Kyle Juszczyk, folks.
That's right there when you use that hashtag Pro Bowl Boat. Kyle Juszczyk right there.
Yeah.
Aside from that, guys, we will see you this Sunday back at home, Levi's Stadium. Nice and warm, but you'll still have your blanket to go with that. And enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy the win. Enjoy the win, Joe.
Absolutely.